praise you, Lord. I would like to ask some of our young people. I see these three strapping young men in front here. I need you to do a very difficult task. I need you to pick up a piece of paper and hand it out for us. Just distribute that through the church. Leave me with one, please. Thank you. Isn't the Lord awesome? We've come with an expectation this morning. We've come asking the Lord for breakthrough. I'm so glad you are here this morning. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for saying, I want to put myself in a place where I can start experiencing breakthrough. Amen? You serve a God that loves you. You serve a God that cares for you far more than what you can ever dream or imagine or think about. His grace is so great. That's why we sing that song, Amazing Grace. It's awesome. And I believe as we stood in the Lord's presence this morning, it's an emotional thing because you can sense how much He loves you. How do you feel about your own children when you see them? Kathy, how did you feel about seeing Stacey this morning? And Shanae. But I mean, look at that strength of character coming through. Didn't it just bring a tear to your eye? When the Lord sees us prevailing through difficulties and trials, it must please Him because He loves us. And sometimes we battle to accept it. Sometimes we battle to come to the realization that we serve a God that loves us. And this morning's message, and in fact the whole weekend's message, have been preached from a point of love. They've been preached from a point of God loves us. Amen. Now please don't go and read that thing yet. I know you've all read it already. But and don't fill it in. That's for after the service. We'll get there. Actually, maybe I should do it now because I'm talking about the Lord's love. See Psalm 23. Remember a few weeks ago, I felt the Lord leading us to study it daily, verse by verse. And we went through Psalm 23, verse by verse, and we just stretched it out and got ourselves to understand it. But in preparing for this weekend, it came up again. Why have I chosen Psalm 23? What has Psalm 23 got to do with breakthrough? Well, the first thing is, all those blanks there are for you to put your name in there. I don't want you to put in me or I. I want you to put in, say, if it was me, I would say, the Lord is Keith's shepherd. Keith shall not want. He makes Keith to lie down and make it personal. And I want you to put it in your Bible. And I want you to go through it every morning as you pick up your Bible to have your quiet time. And I trust you are having quiet times. Whenever you have your quiet time, put this in your Bible and read it and make it personal. But if... Why? What's this got to do with breakthrough? Because it tells us how much the Lord loves us. The Lord is my shepherd. He's Keith's shepherd. He will make sure I don't have anything that I want. I can finish it and say, His goodness and His grace are for me. Surely His goodness and mercy shall follow Keith all the days of Keith's life. And Keith will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we can make that personal. We can make it personal. So God wants to bless us. He wants us to experience His goodness. And breakthrough in our lives is part of God's goodness. Amen. Amen. Now I can hear myself there. Am I too loud for you? Because I am going to get excited this morning. I need my water too because... And praise the Lord for my voice. It should have been gone, but it's here. That's a miracle all on its own. So this weekend has been all about breakthrough. And today's message is about making room for breakthrough. How do I make room in my life to experience breakthrough? What do we do when a circumstance in our life is so difficult, is so problematic, that we just cannot see a way out? Forgive me, I just saw a lady walk into mother's room. Is the sound on there? Okay. What do we do when we're facing a problem, I said yesterday morning, where we feel like we've hit the wall, there's just nowhere else to go? Well, that's when, in our own strength, we can't go any further. That's when we need God to take over. Amen? But God should have been in control long ago already. But when we come to a point like that, where we hit the wall, and there's nowhere else to go, that is when we need a supernatural move of God to give us a breakthrough, to break through that wall, to break through that circumstance, and bring us to a place where we can have victory in our lives. And who needs victory? Let me see. Who needs? I know we've been praying for people for breakthrough this weekend. Who still needs breakthrough? There's nothing wrong with putting up your hand. Amen. We need multiple breakthroughs. I keep on telling the story. When we pray for the church and we pray for the sick, then I go for myself. And Cyril will tell you it's an organ recital. I start at the top and go to the bottom. I start at the top, bottom, and go to the top. I need breakthrough in my health. We need breakthrough in our faith. We need breakthrough in our families. We need breakthrough in our finances. People need work. People need to breakthrough against depression. People need joy. People need breakthrough against cancer. People need breakthrough against arthritis. It doesn't matter what it is, but God is a loving God and He's quite capable and able to give us breakthrough. Amen. So we need breakthrough in our lives. We serve Jehovah Baal Perazim, Jehovah God, Yahweh, the Lord of the breakthrough. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. And as I've been sharing with the people, as His children, as children of the living God, we have been encouraged to imitate Christ. If we imitate Christ and He's the God of the breakthrough, then surely we should be children of breakthrough. It should be part of our characteristics if we are like Christ. So for those of you that have heard it, I'm just going to recap because there's people here that weren't here on the weekend, on Friday and yesterday. What we need to realize is that God has got a desire. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He's got a desire to give us supernatural breakthrough. He wants to unleash breakthrough in our lives, in our impossible situation, in our difficulty, in that with which we've been struggling. And He will give us what we need. So just to recap quickly, what is a breakthrough? I went into the dictionary and it speaks about breakthrough as being an act of overcoming or penetrating an obstacle or restriction. Sorry. Or it's a military offensive that penetrates through the enemy's lines of defense. Or it's a major achievement or success. And I linked the word quantum leap to the word breakthrough. Quantum leap is a huge leap forward in progress. And in some of our lives, we need a quantum leap type breakthrough. We don't just need a little breakthrough, yeah, a little. We need a massive breakthrough. A breakthrough. And what I said is that breakthrough, as you look at its meaning, it's a war word. It speaks about breaking through. It's a word of violence. And on Friday night, I spoke about the fact to get breakthrough, you need to go through a battle. So if you're facing a battle right now, if you're going through a difficult situation right now, just know, hang in there, because the breakthrough is coming. Because breakthrough comes after the battle, or comes as a result of the battle. And then I said, we need to position ourselves. We need to stand, and that's a little bit what this message today is about. So we need to position ourselves for breakthrough. I spoke about Jehoshaphat and his people that positioned themselves, and they started to sing, and God gave them great breakthrough. And then I spoke about the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And he was expecting somebody to help him into the pool so he could get healed. But his breakthrough came in another way when the Messiah came and stood. And he looked at the feet of the Messiah and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I've got no man." And the Messiah said, "Stand up and walk." He wasn't expecting it that way. So sometimes breakthrough doesn't come the way we expected. And what else did we learn about breakthrough? That breakthrough is not something we sit on our hands and wait for. Breakthrough is an active thing. We've got to go and get it. Amen? It's not, if it's war, you've got to go to war. You can't stay at home and say, "Oh, well, my armor's in the cupboard, and the breakthrough's just going to come to me." No, you're going to have your battle dress on. You've got to have the armor of God on. You've got to be there, lined up on the battlefront, and then you'll get your breakthrough. And then yesterday, we spoke about there is a biblical pattern for breakthrough, and it came out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. 7 points to breakthrough, the process. And I showed the people in the Old Testament an example and in the New Testament example. I'm not going to do it again this morning because you'll all go to sleep. But there were 7 points. The first is to get a breakthrough, you need a great problem. And in that day it was drought and pestilence and locusts. And we got the problem today. We need a breakthrough. Even though we had some rain last night, the drought isn't broken. Do you agree with me? We need great breakthrough. We've got a great problem. It takes great humility. The people had to come before the Lord in humility. If my people humble themselves. The third one is, and pray. It takes great prayer. We need to pray. Sometimes we're still lazy to pray. Sometimes we're still lazy to go to the prayer meeting. I see in this country at the moment, there's people calling for days of prayer. We need to do that. We need to be willing to do that. And then a great returning to God, seeking His face. And the fifth one is great repentance and turn from their wicked ways. And I said, well, you might not think that you're wicked. But let me tell you, we live in a wicked country. We stand proxy. And also another word of God which said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody is totally righteous. We need the righteousness of God. Amen? And we don't need to walk in wickedness. And then great compassion. What happens when we do those things? God responds in compassion because He's a loving God and a caring God. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you. So He will respond in compassion. compassion. And I will hear from heaven, he says, and forgive them. And then finally, it says, there will be great breakthrough. I will heal their land. Who knows we need a healed land? Who needs a healed family? Who needs a healed body? Who needs healed finances? Who needs a healed bank account? Amen? God will help us. So those are the seven steps. But the overarching aspect of breakthrough is that we need to have a sound understanding in our hearts of God's goodness and His love towards and the fact that He wants to bless us. Who knows that God wants to bless them? Have you been able to move that from year to year? Because until you can move it from year to year, you're never going to truly be able to experience what breakthrough really is. You need to believe it in your heart. Amen? The prophetic word that came, the scripture that Glenn read this morning. You need to believe that Jesus is. Believe who He is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that died for you and I. He's our brother. Because we are children of Father God, the Most High God. Amen. And as a result of that, we can experience His love, His grace, His provision, and great breakthrough in our lives. So, today we're going to learn about this. How do we make room for breakthrough? How do we make it possible? We've learned a lot of the steps of breakthrough, some of the things we need to do. We're going to go through a fight, all those things. But how do we plan for breakthrough? How do we make it possible that we can experience breakthrough in our lives? And I've got a nice short message this morning because I want to pray with you at the end. So stay alert and stay awake. Well, there's a couple of points. The first thing is we need to plan. We need to prepare the ground in our lives to receive breakthrough. Proverbs 24 verse 27 says this. Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. So before we receive our breakthrough, we need to plan for breakthrough and we need to prepare the field. How do we plan for breakthrough? We look at our lives, we say, we don't need breakthrough. Okay? Then we need to prepare our lives. We spend time, if my people are called by my name. Those 7 points. We pray, we humble ourselves, we seek God's face, we turn back to Him, we repent of our sins. And then we come with expectant hearts. Because who knows, you're not going to get a breakthrough if you don't expect it. Amen? The man at the pool of Bethesda, he was still expectant. He was lying there, wasn't he? He wasn't lying there to watch everybody else get healed. He was lying there because he wanted to get healed. He came expectantly. But he said, I've got a problem. I've got nobody that can put me in the water. But he got his breakthrough because he got his healing. Because the Messiah himself said, stand up and walk. And he did. Praise the Lord for that. Isaiah 54 verse 2 to 3 says this. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home. And spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting. Doesn't that sound like breakthrough to you? Bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Sometimes we need to do what it takes to get breakthrough. In this church, we've worked over the past, let's say, 14 months. We've prepared that area up there. There's nobody sitting there, but it's ready for the breakthrough. It's ready for growth. We've made the place look good. We've made it comfortable. We've made it clean. We've prepared the place for growth. And I believe God is saying to us, you've already stretched out your tent pegs. The breakthrough is coming. You're ready for the growth. And we can see it happening. A few weeks ago, if you'd said to me that there'd be this many people in church today, I would have maybe even smiled. Riley said yes, without faith in my heart. But I can see God is busy moving positively. And it's wonderful. He's bringing breakthrough. And we can give Him praise. And in the same way, in our own lives, we prepare the way. We prepare the way. I spoke to people about friendships. Maybe there's some friendships you've got that you shouldn't have. Maybe there's people you've been taking advice from that you shouldn't be taking advice from. Maybe you need to go to the Word of God and prepare the way in your heart by reading the Word of God and seeing what His Word says about the breakthrough that you need. Instead of telling everybody, that's my thing. I can't stop yucking. When I'm facing a problem, I speak to everybody. My wife smiles. She knows me. But maybe I should go to God and just say, Lord, here it is, and shut up and wait for Him to bring the breakthrough. Amen. Because sometimes we confess negative. We prepare the way by speaking God's word. Somebody said in the prayer meeting this morning, they spoke in authority. They declared breakthrough. They declared victory. We need to start speaking like that. We prepare the way for breakthrough by doing that. We plan for it by doing that. I believe we've got promises for this church, but we've got promises for our own life. If we will enlarge our house, build an addition, spread out our home, spend no expense. It says do whatever it takes to get the breakthrough. Are you willing to do what it takes? One person's willing. Sorry, two people are. Okay, are you willing to do what it takes to get the breakthrough? Yeah. Amen. All right. God is a master planner. Did you know that? He's a master planner. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he says, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a good plan for your life. Often we read about his plan of salvation. If you go and read through the word, he says, I planned that salvation since before the beginning of time. I planned that Jesus should come since before the beginning of time. He planned yonks ago, before, further than we can even bring our mind to think. He planned for salvation to take place. He's a master planner. And as I've already said this morning, as his children, we should bear his characteristics. Therefore, we should be planners. Amen? He said, watch the ant, you slugger. They put away in the summer so that they've got enough for winter. They plan. Even the ant plans. As children of God, we need to plan for breakthrough. Prepare ourselves for breakthrough. There are some additional action steps that we need to take as part of this planning. The first step is we need to, the scripture that you read, Glenn, out of the Lord. No, no, it's okay. We need to believe that we can have breakthrough. We need to believe that God is good and is willing to bless us with breakthrough. Mark 5 verse 35 to 36. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, you see right there, the ruler of the synagogue needed to prepare himself for breakthrough. He needed to plan and prepare his heart for breakthrough. He could have believed the people and said, oh, it's too late, my daughter's dead. But Jesus said to him, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. If we want breakthrough, we need to be willing to believe. We need to be willing to believe. Only believe. Have we been believing? I want to challenge you this morning, church. Have you been believing God for breakthrough? Have you been saying all the right things, but it hasn't sunk to you? So you're not getting the breakthrough you need. Because you're not believing it in your heart. You're believing it in your intellect, but not in your spirit. And God is saying, move it down. Put it down in your heart. Believe it. Believe I'm going to give it to you. I will. I'm a good God. I will bless you. My plan is surely goodness and mercy will follow you. My plan is for that. Are you willing to believe it? You can receive it. Hallelujah. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord our God is a sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good things for those who do what is right. Did you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Amen? You did what is right. He will withhold no good thing from you. Okay, we need to carry on living life. If you're living in sin and you want God to bless you, guess what? He's waiting for you. You'll get your breakthrough. When you repent, because that's what it said in 2 Corinthians 7:14. Repent and from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. But if we are walking and we are trusting God and we're living for God and we're saying, Lord, yes, I know that all have sinned, but I'm trusting in your grace. And Lord, I'm living for you. We can trust God to get our breakthrough because he says, I will withhold no good thing. Who thinks breakthrough is good? Amen. It's a good thing. He won't withhold it from you. Psalm 84:11. Oh, sorry, I read it. God wants to bless us in all we do. The second action step after believing that we can have a breakthrough is that we need to prepare our heart for breakthrough. Now, Conrad, are you sitting on your chair there? Right, James 4, verse 7 to 10. Therefore, do you think God is speaking to us this morning? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This sounds so much like 2 Chronicles 7:14 to me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, I'm doubting. It's yeah still and not yeah. Amen? Lament and mourn and weep. Repentance. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let me tell you, two weeks ago, that scripture came up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And the other one, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe it's an answer for us, church. It's a key to unlock our breakthrough. That day, I started coming before the Lord, and maybe I shouldn't even share it with you because I should do it in humility, but I started coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, forgive me for a proud attitude. Forgive me for trying to do things in this church in my own strength. I can't. Even the message I preached this morning, it's a simple message. The only power that it has is the fact that it's God's word. Amen? It's not my power. The only way I can minister to you in power is because I've got His Spirit in me. It's got nothing to do with me. And we need to come to that place in our lives. I will cope financially because I will work hard. I will be diligent with my money. I will plan about it. No. Doesn't matter what you do, unless you submit your finances to God, as Conrad said this morning, you will not have financial victory. You need to submit to God. It's a matter of submission and acknowledging who's in control. I will go to my good doctor. My specialist is the best. Yes, God will anoint him and help him, but you need to go to God first if you want your healing. Amen? Cheryl, your healing is in God. I praise God for those doctors that are helping you. Praise God that you got to see a professor. That is God. But the first and foremost, the foundation of your healing is in Christ. That's it. Amen. And every other person here that needs healing this morning, the foundation of our victory, the foundation of your marriage, the foundation of your children's life is in Christ. I've got such wonderful children only because of God. Amen. Otherwise, they're going to be a hair. I will lose my hair because of my children. Not just from natural causes like I am. And I'll go gray, which I'm already doing. All right? And it's not because I've got bad children. I praise the Lord for my good children. So how do we prepare our hearts? I've broken that scripture up. One, by submitting to God. Two, by resisting the devil. Okay? The devil will come. He'll come with temptation. He'll come and say you're not good enough. He'll come and tell you you're never going to be healed. You're never going to be financially free. You're never going to work again. Amen? Don't do it. Resist the devil. Drawing near to God. Spend time in His presence. I spoke about it yesterday morning. Draw near to Him. Make sure your relationship with Him is right. Speak to Him in the day. Don't just have a quiet time relationship with God. Draw near to Him. The fourth one. Deal with sin in your life. Deal with it. You know what it is. You know where your weak points are. You know what you do. I've battled with repetitive sin. We all have. I've learned a trick. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to battle with repetitive sin in my life. Because the enemy will keep coming back and trying to make me fall. But I've learned something. In the mornings, when I have my prayer time, I remember what it says in the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Lord, help me to be strong today. Live for today. Get the victory for today. He will give you the victory. And then, resist the devil. Okay? When the temptation comes, say, I'm not going to do it. He will give you victory. Repent. Grieve, mourn, and weep over sin. We need to do that. This nation needs to repent, grieve, and mourn over sin. Amen. I think we need to start responding to these calls for national prayer. I know Angus Buchan is busy with something. It's calling a sacred assembly. This is a sacred assembly, just by the way, church. If you want to draw near to God and you want to honor God, people say that the Sabbath is no more. Of course it is. There's a Sabbath rest, yes, that we have in Christ Jesus through salvation. But God prepared a day of the week that we were to go and sit in His presence. But you know what? We've stopped respecting it. We just almost stay away for any old reason. And then we expect breakthrough. No, church. You need to respect God. Amen? I want you to come. It's great having a full church. It's great for me. It makes me blessed. Okay? But that's not the reason why you need to come to church. You need to come to church because you need to. You need to come to church to acknowledge, God, I can't do this without you. Your word says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. I respect your word that says it. It says it in the New Testament, just by the way. You can't say, no, the Sabbath was Old Testament. In the New Testament it says, in Timothy, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. You honor God by being here. We need to realize that. This is a sacred assembly. And then we humble ourselves before God so that He can lift us up. You see, once we come to that place of humility, the breakthrough is there because He's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up. Hallelujah. The third one is we build our faith. How do we build our faith? Well, this is one way of doing it. You can come to church. We could share testimony. I actually meant to ask, is there anybody who's been here all weekend and who believes God has moved mightily in their life? Is there anybody like that who'd like to share testimony just now? Oh, we're going to have to pray for a bigger breakthrough. Nobody yet. Okay, because we need to share testimony. Next Sunday morning, we'll share testimony about what God did this weekend. Amen? Surely you'll have to do it.
Or am I preaching next Sunday?
I think it's Shirley. Oh, David. Just remember, okay. We need to call somebody else to share testimony so that it can build our faith. But the other way that we do it is by spending time in God's Word. Our faith is built up as we read God's Word, as we read the accounts of what the people experienced in the Bible, and we apply it into our own lives. We build our faith. We also build our faith by... I just want to go back. That's why we've got this handout. We build our faith by looking at stuff like this. Memorize it. Let it become part of you. This is not the only place that you can put in an eye. You can put in your eye anywhere. You can put your name in anywhere in the Word of God. Another good place to go and put it is 1 Corinthians 13, where you talk about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Keith is patient. Keith is kind. Keith is good. That's a big check, isn't it? We can start walking right by doing that. So another way that we build our faith is by remembering what God has done in our own lives. Psalm 77 verse 11 says this, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And Psalm 143 verse 5 says this, I remember the days of old. I meditate, I think about on all your works. I muse on the works of your hand. As we think about what God has done in our lives, we will build our faith because we say if he's done it before, he can do it again. Amen? So we need to build our faith. The fourth action step is then, we need to then pray and step out in obedience and in courage. We pray, and then we step out in obedience and courage. 2 Samuel 5 verse 17 to 25. This is about David. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over all Israel, all the Philistines went to search for David. That's the first thing I want to tell you. David was anointed king over Israel. Do you think there was a great breakthrough in his life? He stepped into the fullness of his calling. He was called to be the king of Israel, the greatest king Israel ever had, and also the greatest worshipper that ever lived, and maybe one of the greatest sinners that ever lived too, okay? But the greatest recipient of God's grace as well, amen. So he was a man of breakthrough, but the minute he was crowned king, the minute he was anointed king, the enemy came against him. They heard about it and they came against him. When you start standing up and saying, I'm going to stand up for breakthrough. I'm going to have my breakthrough. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to spend time in the Lord's presence. Don't think the problems are going to go away. The enemy is going to come against you. But you've got the keys because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Church, you are far too quiet this morning. I think you need to start shouting and giving God glory. Amen. And encourage me to preach. Laat ek bietjie aan die brand kan wees. Okay. So, When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the strongholds, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? Right there, David went and inquired of the Lord. He went and spoke to God. He went and prayed. He faced a problem, a big problem, a trial. And he prayed. And then he asked the Lord. But do you see what he did afterwards? He listened. It says, and the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hands. You see, David could have then got the answer and gone home and sat and said, what am I going to do when these Philistines get you? But instead what he did is he did what God said. He went up against the Philistines and God gave them great victory that day. So what we need to do is we need to pray. And then when we need to listen to hear what God is saying to us, and then we need to obey what he said. We need to pray and obey. We need to do. Because too many people have been praying for years and years and years for breakthrough, and God has spoken to them and said, if you will do X, Y, Z, I will give you breakthrough. And they've gone in the other direction because they didn't want to do what God told them to do. And so they're still waiting for their breakthrough today. So we need to pray and obey. We need to do what God is telling us to do. Can I hear an amen? And then I want to show you something else. So David went to Baal Perazim, breakthrough, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water, like a flood. Do you know when you get a flash flood? It could be running down one of these culverts or something. It's narrow. But that water, it is so powerful. It'll wash a car away. It will wash trees out the ground. If you're standing there, you're dead. Finished, okay? And that's the kind of breakthrough it's talking about. When God breaks through against the enemy, he crushes the enemy. He flattens them. He washes that problem away. Amen. Because that's our God. He's greater than our problems. Hallelujah. And he's God, Jehovah Baal Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. And so God gave David a great breakthrough. Therefore, David, but it happened again. That the Philistines came up against them again. And yeah, in verse 23 it says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Did you see that? So God gave you a victory yesterday. Now the enemy comes with the same problem, the same enemy, the same hassle, the same temptation, the same argument with your family, your husband or your wife. And you say, well, I will deal with it in the same way that God showed me to deal with it yesterday. David didn't do that. He went back to the Lord. He inquired of the Lord again. And he said, God said this, you shall not go up. Don't go up the way you did yesterday. Oh, okay, so God's got a different plan today for the same problem that I faced yesterday. See how God doesn't change, but sometimes His methods change. Sometimes His plans change. Because you know what? He knows the enemy's a copycat. He's going to go and copy and expect what happened yesterday to happen again. So God will come around the other corner and sort him out in a different way. You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For when the Lord, then the Lord will go out before you to strike, to break through against the camp of the Philistines. And David did so. Do you see, he was obedient once again. He did what God said. As the Lord commanded, and he drove the Philistines back from Geba as far as Giza. Now think about this. Can you just imagine David going to tell his army commanders, guys, we're not going to go and fight them the way we did yesterday. And they say, but it worked yesterday, David. So no. We're going to go there by the mulberry trees and we're going to listen for a sound in the top of the trees of marching. And they're going to say, cuckoo, cuckoo. Huh? Sometimes God's going to show you to do stuff. It's going to seem a little bit strange. Amen? But He's God. He can do anything. He calls that which is not as though it were. Amen? So if you need breakthrough and God starts showing you some stuff that it's not logical to me. Remember, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So what did David's army do? They knew that David knew God. And they knew if David said, go and listen for something in the top of the mulberry trees, well, we'll go and listen. And lo and behold, it came to pass. Amen. So if God shows you something that seems strange, just ask Him to confirm it, and then do it. Obey it. David prayed when he faced crisis. He asked God what to do. Then he obeyed God, he stepped out in courage, and God gave him the breakthrough. Wouldn't you like to have that? Amen. And then when it happened again, he said, I'm not going to stay in the same old, same old, same old, same old. Amen? I'm going to do it in a different way. Because God's blessings are new every morning. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He loves us. And that's the end of my message. So our God is a good God. He comes to us. Surely goodness and mercy shall... The Lord is my shepherd. He's Keith's shepherd. He wants to lead me beside the still waters. Even if I'm walking in the shadow, if Keith walks through the valley of the shadow of death, Keith will fear no evil. Amen. Hallelujah. So, how do we make way for breakthrough? That's what the message was about this morning. Number one, we plan for breakthrough. Number two, we believe we can have breakthrough. You plan for it. You believe for it. You prepare your heart. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so that He can lift you up. We build our faith by remembering what God has done for us and by spending time in His Word and even by coming to church. And then we pray. We step out in obedience and encourage. And we take hold of the breakthrough God has got for us. Five simple points. Amen? Now, if you didn't take notes, the notes will be up on the church website tomorrow. Okay, is that all right, Glenn? Am I putting you under pressure? They'll be on the website tomorrow. If I haven't sent them tomorrow, please moan at me. Okay, and you can go through each service had its specific points about breakthrough. We need to apply this. Remember what I said: breakthrough is not just for today; it's for our life, it's for every day. Make it real in your life. Make what you've heard this weekend real in your life. But now we've come to that place in the service where I believe God is going to move, and I want to pray for you. We've got plenty of time. Did you notice I preached a bit shorter than normal? Didn't feel like that while I was preaching. Amen. But we're going to trust God to move. And I want to ask if we can get a musician up here or the worship team just to play music in the background. And while we're waiting for them, who's been blessed this weekend, church? Can I see a show of hands? Have the messages spoken to you? Simple messages, eh? That's why I said it's simple, but it's from God. It's His Word. And if we can apply those simple truths in our lives. You know, the greatest simple truth is If we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and accept Him as our Redeemer, we will be saved. Confess that He's our Lord. It's simple. It's so simple, people miss it. They can't accept it. They want to work for it. They want to do things. They want to think, if I work hard enough, I can be saved. No, He says you can be saved by simply believing and confessing. Amen.